If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10. That's Isaiah 35, 8 through 10. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
I wish to join with Brother Mark in welcoming you here this morning. It is a beautiful day outside, at least it seems that way to me, and we're happy that you have taken advantage of the beauty of the weather and come to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When our Lord Jesus Christ lived upon the earth, he gave his disciples instruction that they should enter in at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus was talking about living the Christian life, showing by the things we say, by the things we do, by the places we go, by the clothing that we wear, and on and on and on, just what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian, in my opinion, is the greatest blessing that God has ever allowed man to enjoy. For it is only through being a Christian that we entertain any hope of entering into the great promised land to which that straight and narrow path goes that Jesus talked about. In addition to that, in the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, he talks about this same thing, but he uses a different figure. Jesus used gates and paths. Isaiah used highways and roads. And in the passage of Scripture that was read to us just a few moments ago, he said that there would be a highway there that the righteous would walk upon. The unrighteous, those who are filthy, those who are sinners, shall not walk upon this way. But it's reserved for a very special traffic, if you please, and that is those who are living the Christian life. Isaiah said it'll be called the highway of holiness. Holiness being the nature of the people who travel upon it. And of course, if we're not holy, we will not travel upon it. Because he says in the very next sentence, the unclean, referring to sinners, shall not pass over it. In other words, the unclean, the sinners, are not going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus that the Apostle Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2. They will not be walking in the footsteps of our Lord, and as a result of that, they will not be on the highway that God provides for those who come to him for salvation. He goes on to say, whoever walks the road, even if he's a fool, shall not go astray. He meant by that, as long as we stay on the road, we will not veer off into this sin or that sin or some other sin, but we must maintain our journey up on this highway, this roadway. This roadway is the one that was prepared by John the Baptist for Jesus first to walk upon and then for us to follow him as he gives us direction and teaching in his divine and holy word that we call the New Testament. But as we consider this highway, we want to consider the fact that there are certain very special characteristics about it. It isn't a little narrow, thorny path, but it's a highway. Now, when I think of a highway, I think of what people refer to as the super slab, you know, the interstate highways. In Britain, they call them M's, but the interstate highway system, I consider that to be a highway. And I guess those who create them do too, because they do not call the backcountry roads that are full of mud in the winter and full of dust in the summer to be highways. These are the county roadways or whatever name they give to them. And so it's a highway. It's not just a path. It is a path in the sense that people are walking it, but not a path in the sense that it is, muddy and full of treachery or treacherous things as we walk along it. Secondly, Isaiah said concerning this great highway that it's a holy way. Holy comes from a word in the Bible, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, which means sanctified or set aside or made for a special purpose. We understand that when it comes to the ordinary affairs of life. For example, glasses are made to fit the eyes, aren't they? Hearing aids, the ears, and so on and so forth, we could go. These are set aside for that purpose. In all probability, I could not wear your glasses and you could not wear mine, for these have been made with a special prescription, for me, and therefore they are set aside, they are sanctified for my use only. This way is a holy way. It is a sanctified way. It is a way for the righteous only. Now, I know when I say that I'm going to be accused of being a narrow-minded bigot. I sometimes say I've been called worse than that by better people, but I won't say that this morning. But we are. We're called bigots. not long ago, there was an article that appeared with a quotation from another religious journal. And this quotation said that the members of the Churches of Christ had all been brainwashed and that we are bigots. Well, I guess that's a matter of opinion. If studying the Bible, learning the Bible, attempting to live the Bible as a bigot, then I plead guilty. Don't you? I don't know that anybody has brainwashed me. I do know some people that a good washing wouldn't hurt their brains any. But this is a holy way. It's a sanctified way. It's set apart for very special people. And that's the people of God, or what the prophet here calls righteous. The clean, as contrasted with the unclean. But he goes on to point out that it's plain way. You know, as we travel from one end of this nation to the other and from the north to the south, we depend a great deal on road signs, don't we? Or at least I do. I watch for a sign that says that the interstate upon which I want to travel is going to turn this way or go that way or some other way. I watch them very carefully because though it is very plain that that's a road, it is not necessarily the road that I want. There are lots of roads in life. Some of them we don't want, but we do want the way of holiness, the highway of holiness, the plain way. Not plain in the sense that it is ugly or anything like that, but plain in the sense that it is clearly marked. We find the way in this book. We follow the way through this book. We see the marks of the way through this book. And if it were to come to pass somehow or other that the Bibles were all destroyed from off the face of the earth, in less than a generation, probably, we wouldn't know which direction to go, would we? So we need to stay in the plain and narrow way. A plain way is an easy way. You know, there are those who complain often very much about how hard it is to be a Christian. Maybe I'm an exception to the rule, but I don't find being a Christian hard, particularly in light of the fact that the Old Testament prophet said, the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, a transgressor is a sinner, and it's hard to live a life of sin. You know, that's even true physically. Not long ago, a lady knocked on our front door, and I went to the door, and she wanted to know, was this such and such a house number, although the house number was posted in 10-inch numerals on the side. But I knew immediately she was impaired somehow or other. And it was my guess, based upon my observation of her, that she was impaired by methamphetamine. Her face was drawn. Her eyes were black around them. Her teeth had begun to disappear from her head through one way or another. She was so skinny, it was frightening. And so I said to the poor thing, no, the house you want is in the next block. Just go up to the next block and you'll find 1205. I knew this woman was impaired some way or another. She may have been impaired by alcohol, but the evidence said methamphetamine, because it destroys the body. And it will take a 22-year-old woman and make her look like she's 75, even older than I am, perhaps. It destroys the body. It marks, sin marks our bodies. It's hard on us. The way of the transgressor is hard. In the neighborhood where I grew up, there were two kinds of people, religious people and alcoholics. I guess in a sense, they were religious too. They just worshiped the wrong God, didn't they? But you could spot the alcoholics as far as you could see them. Most of the religious people in my community were divided further into two groups: members of the church and the other people. And in that community, our brethren worked constantly to invite people to worship, to invite them to study the Bible, and many of them did, and were converted to Christ, and began walking the beautiful highway that is plain and safe from sinners. It is a safe way. We don't have to worry about sinners destroying our spiritual reward. They won't do it. They can't do it. Now, they might destroy our physical lives, as they did in the first century to hundreds of thousands of Christians, but they cannot destroy our spiritual life, nor can they destroy our spiritual reward. This highway is a safe way. The Lord guards the people who are upon it. He's not going to allow his body of people, the church, to be destroyed from off the face of the earth. Daniel, likening the church to Christ's kingdom in 2:44, said that it would never be destroyed. Said it twice in one verse. And so it's a safe way. It's a way that we needn't worry about disappearing from the earth when we're not looking. And how wonderful that is. For years and years and years now, I've been impressed by this prophecy of the coming of the church given here by Isaiah. The church, of course, came through Christ. But I've never been able to do the subject justice, and I'm not this morning. I fully realize that. But this way to heaven, this great highway, the one that's outlined in the book of books, mainly in the New Testament, is the safe way for us to walk. We need to seek the safe way. you wouldn't want to walk in a way that was full of treachery, holes, and things of that nature, and you couldn't see them till you were in them, would you? I wouldn't either, because it isn't safe. Another thing that makes roadways, or made roadways unsafe in the days of Isaiah, was the robbers who hid behind the rocks and in the bushes and got the people and brought harm to them, as they did to the man who was ministered to by the Good Samaritan, as we call him. And so it's a safe way. But probably above everything else, Isaiah says that it is a happy way. Look with me to a couple of verses in verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. This may be a reference to the coming back from the 70 years captivity. And come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isn't that wonderful? That just stirs me inwardly just to read it. The people are going to come to Zion, Zion being another name for heaven. The people are going to come to heaven with singing and with everlasting joy on their heads, joy that will never be taken away, because nobody can take it away. And once in heaven, we'll have no desire to ever give it up, as we might sometimes hear on the earth. They'll come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. There are a lot of saddening things that happen in this life, are there not? Even as Jeff prayed this morning, think of the sickness. Think of what size this audience would be this morning if we could just have all of our sick back for one service. There are lots of things that bring unhappiness in this physical life. But there, at the end of this beautiful highway, we will obtain joy and gladness, and sighing and crying shall flee away. Be no sorrow, none whatsoever. We sorrow over many things in this life. I've seen grown men sit down and cry when they lost their jobs. And possibly you have too. That's a tremendous blow, not only to the man, but to his whole family, isn't it? And he probably begins by asking himself the question, who will feed my children next week? That's great sorrow. Or the loss of a companion, or of someone else that's very dear to us that we deeply love. That's sorrow. There's nothing beautiful about it. It hurts. We grieve. But not so at the end of the highway. We will enter into our reward with singing. We will obtain joy and gladness, while sorrow and sighing shall fly away, or flee away, this translation of the prophet puts it. So this way is a highway. It's a beautiful way. It's wide enough to accommodate everybody who wants to walk on it. And it's called the highway of holiness. Sinners will not walk there. That's one way God providentially prevents us from suffering more temptation than we do. He separates us from sinners, as Jesus was separate from sinners. And furthermore, we can walk in this way if we do it voluntarily, with hearts filled for love for the builder and the maker of it. Sometimes we sing the old song, I'm in the way, the bright and shining way, don't we? I'm in the glory land way. That's what Isaiah is talking about, what that poet was talking about. And so I want to simply ask one question. Are you in the way? Faithfully walking in the way, the highway, the way of holiness? Are you? Now, I may not know the answer to that because I have to judge from outward appearance, but you do. You know your heart. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of the man that's in him? Paul asked. You know whether or not you are a Christian, or whether or not you are a faithful, devoted Christian. If you're not a Christian, through study of the Word, you must come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Having come to that conclusion, that should impel you to repent of all sin against God and His Son. For as was expressed in the prayers at the Lord's table this morning, Jesus gave His life's blood for us. Having repented, we need to confess with our mouths that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then we need to submit to burial. Burial in the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, where the old man or the old person is left and from which rises a new one. If you've left the way, or not as faithful as you could be in the way, there's a simple procedure to make it right. What is it, you say? Well, you already believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need then to repent of your sins. As the Apostle Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, repent of this thy wickedness and pray God that if perhaps the thought and the intent of your heart be forgiven you. That's what you need to do. And we'll be more than happy to pray with you if you want to come back to Christ this morning. Next time we sing, I'm in the way, the true and living way, let's make sure we're singing the truth. We invite you to come to God or come to Christ through the teachings of the Holy Spirit as we stand together and sing the invitation song.